Could you turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers? Fourth book in our Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 32. We're going to be turning to various scriptures tonight as we go through. This message that I bring to you tonight started in my heart on Wednesday. I got a phone call on Wednesday, and in that conversation, someone asked me, did I think that church meetings and fellowship would soon return to normality? What a question. I'm not either a prophet or the son of a prophet. It's hard to know what lies ahead. And in answering, I said that I doubt there'll be any change in the short term. That's what I said. I doubt there'll be any change in the short term. And the person's reply on the phone was, Pastor, I now doubt everything. I now doubt everything. And I sort of challenged him on it. And I said, I hope you're not doubting your faith. I hope you're not doubting the things of God. And he assured me he wasn't. But we live in that kind of an age whenever we start to doubt. Who do we believe? And that throwaway phrase on a phone burned into my mind this week. I now doubt everything. We certainly live in uncertain days in an unstable environment. And I know people are saying, do we believe the government or is it political spin? Others will say, do we believe the medical experts or is there another agenda that we don't know about? Who do we believe? Some say the COVID-19 is a Chinese weapon that was being developed. We looked at that a few weeks ago with fake news. Others will say that it's connected to the 5G internet technology and people are damaging the mass and that we're assured that's not the case. Who do we believe? Some say COVID-19 is an attempt to cure overpopulation. Who do we believe? There seems to be an intense mistrust of governments and of experts. And in today's world that is a global media, 24/7 news, we see Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all these platforms to spread news. And the word spreads so fast and we see it and we don't know who to believe. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is it brings stability. It brings a firm foundation because you have God's truth, the Bible. He has given us his truth. And he has given it to us so it will be a foundation for our lives. He has given it so that we do not need to be shaky in our foundation. We don't need to worry. We don't need to be anxious. But rather, he is giving us a foundation, an authority, an infrastructure of truth to draw from in days of instability and uncertainty. In fact, whenever the psalmist was writing in Psalm 19, I think it's verse 7, he reminds the Israelites that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And he was reminding the people in the psalmist day that the word of God is a sure, solid, steady foundation for your life. And indeed, for eternity. Every book, every chapter, every verse is absolutely guaranteed. You can stake your life on it. You can stake your eternity on it. Maybe your foundation tonight is your family. And you've built your life on your family, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. And that's your foundation. May if anything happened to them, your whole world would shake. And yet we have seen with the coronavirus, my, it's a shaky foundation, isn't it? How many tears have been shed? How many lives have been devastated? I can't even bear thinking about it. I'd rather stay locked in for a year rather than have to bury one of my loved ones, I just don't know how I cope. And yet people have done it and have come out the other side. Maybe your foundation is your money. My, that's not a strong foundation. Very shaky. The FTSE dropping and global markets collapsing, and the debt of the country is going to be measured in trillions. No, God has given us his word so that we might have a solid, sure, steady foundation in shaky days. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to open the word of God and give you something to hold on to. I want to give you a foundation tonight that you can set as the rock on which you build. You can set it knowing that it will be sure and steadfast in the time of storm. And the first one, as I said to you, is found in Numbers 32 and verse number 23. Let me read it to you. I'm sure you know this verse off by heart almost. I'm sure you learnt it maybe in Sunday school days. And yet it is a wonderful truth to remember. Numbers 32, verse 23, reads like this. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Look at that wee word, sure. It says this is solid, this is dependable. You can stake your life on it. Says the Bible, judgment on sin is absolutely 100% certain. Be sure your sin will find you out. Maybe you have skeletons in the cupboard nobody knows about. Maybe you'd be horrified if they came to light. Maybe things your wife, your husband, your children don't know about, your parents don't know about. Things that you did and now they horrify you. I tell you, God has a record. And be sure your sin will find you out. This rings true for the royalty in the palace, as well as the pauper who sleeps in a doorway at the front of a shop with no home to go to. This rings true for the educated with their degrees from the best of universities, and also for those who are illiterate with no exams to their name. This cuts through all the shades and colors and diversities of humanity, and it places us all in the condition of condemnation before God. Why? Because we are all sinners, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's a foundational truth. I'm standing on a platform. It holds my weight, but I know there is an area underneath here that's a storage area. And I know that there is a way. I've never been under there, but there's a way into it, and you can store things and leave things. And I've never been under there. But whenever we come to the Word of God, this is a solid, concrete, unmovable, unshakable truth that is the foundation for life. And so I say to you lovingly, here's a truth that is 100% certain. Be sure your sin will find you. The writer to the Proverbs put it like this in chapter 13. The way of the transgressor is hard. In Ezekiel, that we looked at maybe a week or so ago, in Ezekiel 18, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. When you go over to Galatians, whenever Paul was writing to the church at Galatia in chapter 6, he says this, but be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's found right throughout Scripture. Judgment is sure. Now, dear friend, if you're sitting watching your screen and you're not a Christian, that truth, that foundational truth in the Bible should cause you to tremble. It should cause you to get anxious. It should take sleep from your eyes and take appetite from your lips. Why? Because if you were to die at this moment, if your heart was to stop, you meet the judgment of God. Because be sure your sin will find you out. Dear friend, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is not scaremongering. This is the truth, the foundation of the Word of God. Today we live in an age where we try to sanitize sin. We try to normalize sin, popularize sin. And so we don't talk about stealing now. We talk about creative accountancy. That's a good way of putting it, isn't it? It's stealing, but we call it an accountancy method that is creative. Lying is now being economical with the truth. Same-sex relationships is now called an alternative lifestyle. But God cuts through all the nonsense. And he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Be sure your sin will find you out. And the judgment that sin attracts is real, it's literal, and it's eternal. It's sure and certain for those who die with sin unforgiven. It's a foundational truth. It's 100% certain. You can stake your life on this tonight. Judgment is certain. But let me bring you to another one. This time we're going to the New Testament, and it's in John chapter 6. And we find that Christ is certain. It says, we believe and are sure, absolutely sure. We are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. These are the words of Peter. The Lord Jesus was preaching, and some of the ones that followed him, that seemed interested, that seemed intrigued, But then they turned and walked away. And they no longer walked with him. They no longer believed him. And the Lord Jesus turned to his disciples and said, will you also go away? Will you also abandon me? And Peter comes out with this foundational truth. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The words of Peter. He is 100% convinced. When others walked away, he didn't walk away. When others left and showed their back to the Savior and said, no, I have another agenda, Peter didn't move. He had the gift of faith. Faith is a strange thing. Faith gives the ability to see what others miss. It's able to listen and hear the things of God, and it rings true in your mind and rings true in your soul. It's the gift of faith. Not everybody has it. There's people who hear and sit in meetings and sit in church services, and they hear it and hear it and hear it, and it just doesn't ring true to them. But for Peter, it rang true. He had the gift of faith to see what others missed. Peter said, God is real. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's absolutely certain. He's not just another prophet. He's not just a great example. He's not just a founder of a world religion. No, I see it by faith. He is God in the flesh. He came to be the sacrifice for sin. He came to take our guilt and our sin. you can take it to the bank tonight. It's absolutely part of the foundation. He says, we believe and are sure, 100% certain, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Dear friend, I tell you, you could do a lot worse tonight after the meeting's over to lift a Bible. Go to the New Testament primarily, and you look at the life of Jesus Christ. You read about his actions. You read about his words. You read about his teaching. You read about his miracles, all of it pointing to the certainty of his divine person. See, as you go through your Bible and you flick through the pages, will you do something for me? Will you make a prayer? And here's the prayer. Lord, give me the gift of faith. Let me see the reality of what this book is teaching. Oh, I tell you, in uncertain days, in days when we don't know who to believe, here is a firm, solid foundation that you can stake your life on and you can stake your eternity on. You can take it to the eternal bank and you can say, it says it, I believe it, it's not going to shake. It's not going to shake. Judgment is certain for those that are sinners, and that's all of us. Christ is certain. We know and are sure, we believe it, that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He is the answer to the sin problem. Let me move on. We're moving back to the Old Testament again, and we're turning to Isaiah 53, written 700 years before the birth of Christ. But a wonderful book and a wonderful chapter. This chapter points to the suffering Messiah. And in verse 4, let me read it to you. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten from God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The price to bring us peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Calvary is certain. Oh, maybe for you it's just an historic event. Maybe it's just an event that gives you a couple of days off at Easter time. But I want you to know that this is part of God's foundational truth. This is part of God's solid ground for you to stand on. Not only is judgment certain, but Jesus Christ is certain. But dear friend, Calvary is certain. Calvary covers the debt of sin. Back in December 1903, the Wright brothers, after many failed attempts, succeeded in flying their flying machine. First time in history. They got their flying machine off the ground and into the air. And whenever they got back to the ground again, they telegraphed their sister, Catherine, I think her name was, living back in Ohio in America. And it said, the telegram said this, we have actually flown 120 feet, we'll be home for Christmas. That was the message, the telegram. We have actually flown 120 feet, we'll be home for Christmas. She got the telegram. She ran down to the editor of the local newspaper, showed him the telegram. He read it and he said, oh, well, that's good. The boys will be home for Christmas. He had missed the main point of the telegram. He missed the whole exciting news that man had flown, had been able to sustain a flight, albeit short. He missed the main news. He missed the main point. And many today, maybe you, many go to church and they read the Bible. They survive the COVID-19 and they go through their life, all the ups and downs, and they miss the big news. The big news tonight is surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The big news tonight is, oh, we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him at Calvary the iniquity of us all. That's the big news. That's the big news. I say, dear friend, as you try to get the foundation of your life solid and sure, as you think of the Word of God, that is God's foundation for life, he says, Numbers 32, judgment is certain. John 6, Christ is certain. But Isaiah 53, Calvary is certain. Jesus carried our sorrows. Jesus carried our iniquities. Jesus paid the debt that was due on you and me. Christ died and rose again. Dear friend, Calvary is certain. God's wrath can be diverted. The price has been paid. I tell you, that's worth having in your foundation. Without this, our foundation is as weak as water. And one day we'll sink. Oh, the foundation of God's word. Judgment is certain. Christ is certain. He is the Redeemer come from God to take away the sin of the world. Calvary is absolutely certain. He died an atoning death. He died on behalf of you and me. Let me come to another one. This time it's in John 6. Salvation is certain. Let me read it to you. John 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, do you hear the certainty in it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's a foundation for you, isn't it? Wow. This verse is telling us that salvation is absolutely certain. Hallelujah for this certain day. Those that come to Jesus Christ for salvation will never be turned away. Yes, I mean you. And you. Absolutely. That's what it says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Whether you look at it from God's perspective or whether you look at it from mine's perspective, the same truth is there. You'll never be turned away. Salvation is certain if you come. And when you come, you will discover amazingly that it was God who put the awareness of sin in your mind. It was God that put the desire to have eternity sorted. It was God that gave you the desire to come and repent and trust with all your heart. He was there right at the beginning. And you can come now. Now listen, don't you worry about who's sitting with you. Don't worry about them. Don't worry if your wife will laugh at you, or your husband will laugh at you, or your children will wonder what on earth's going on. Don't worry about them. This is far bigger. This is eternal. This is about your eternal destiny. This is about God's foundation. Salvation is 100% certain. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I remember when I came, sitting in Ebenezer Gospel Hall on the Old Park Road in Belfast, a young teenager, and I came just as I was. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you. You died for me. You took my place. You took my punishment. I'm embracing the work of Calvary for me. He didn't cast me away. He didn't say, no, I mean it for everybody but you. No. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You can come now, knowing that he will not turn you away. Come with your sin. Come with the baggage of life. come with all the uncertainties and the confusion. You say, preacher, I don't know all about the Bible. I don't understand all the theology. I don't understand all these theology books and these big long words. No, no, that's not it. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that Jesus came from God to be the Savior? Do you understand that at Calvary, he shed his blood and gave his life a ransom for many, for you tonight? And if you come to him, he'll not turn you away. Salvation is certain. Come as you are. Come now. Let me come to another one. This time we're looking at the near the end of our Bible, the New Testament, 1 John 5. We find that assurance is certain. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Oh, the certainty. Do you hear it? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Assurance can be certain. That's good. And this is a big problem for many people. You see, there are people who hope that they're saved. And if you speak to them, they're nearly embarrassed. And if you say, are you a Christian? Well, they say, well, I hope so. I hope so. Or maybe they will say, I think I am. I mean... I know the verses. I was christened. I was brought into the church. I go every Sunday. I think I am. Maybe somebody would say, well, I expect to be. Not now. I'm not a Christian now, but I intend to be. I expect to be. Sometime during the next wee while, maybe but when I get a bit older, I'm going to attend to these things. Certainly I am. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's a lovely truth. We don't know who's a Christian, who's not. We'd make a real mess of it if we tried to guess. I have a congregation here normally and before lockdown or after lockdown. And I look around the congregation and I could maybe assess who's believers and who's not. But I would get it wrong. I would get it wrong. I know I would. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows those that he's done a work in their heart and he's cleansed them from sin and he's indwelling them by his Spirit. He knows. But that's not the end of it. It says that we can know. We can be certain. We can be sure. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know it? Are you sure? Dear friend, I invite you tonight to go round the groundwork again and make sure that you're certain. Make sure that you're clear. You say, well, where do I get assurance? Well, let me see if I can highlight a few wee things just in, as we come to the end. Salvation comes by repentance, saying, I'm not going to live that way ever again. Salvation involves a change of life, a change of lifestyle. You're saying, I'm not going to live in sin anymore. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to trust him and serve him and live for him. I'm going to repent. Turn away from that, and I'm going to believe that Jesus died for me. I'm going to stake my eternity on. That's salvation. What about assurance? How can we be sure? Well, it comes because of a new hatred for sin. Whenever you become a Christian, all of a sudden when you make a mistake, it galls you. It just gets you. Say, oh no, why did I say it? Why did I do it? There's a new hatred for sin. There's a new appreciation of God and the things of God. There is a new love for the Bible. The Bible starts to be addictive and you love it and you keep reading it. There's a new desire to pray. There's a new attitude to this old world. There's a new love for the church and God's people. A whole new life. And that's where the assurance comes, because you're not living the way you once lived. There's an assurance. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Fanny Crosby knew that in the late 1800s. The great hymn writer. And she wrote that hymn that we love. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Assurance is certain. Dear friend, tonight you can know. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that you belong to Jesus. Because of the lifestyle, the life that has been changed from you put your trust in him. Let me put it the other way around. If you claim to be a Christian and there's been no change to your life and lifestyle, you're fooling yourself. You can't have God living in your soul and sin without it hurting you. You can't have God living in your heart and you have no love for church and no love for God's word and no love for prayer and no. Doesn't make sense. Oh, what a foundation. Judgment is certain, Numbers 32. Christ is certain, John 6. Calvary is absolutely certain, and salvation is certain, John 6. And assurance is certain, 1 John 5. Let me slip another one in before we go. The return of Christ is certain. It's spoke about many times in the Bible. Let me leave this one with you. Revelation 22. He which testifieth to these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Of course, the first question you're going to ask is when? When? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I'll tell you this. He could come tonight. He could come before I close in prayer. He could come before I get the car home to my home. He could come before you get a wee cup of tea for your supper. He's coming. And as I look around this world tonight, I want to tell you, it's getting close. This world's in a mess. And one day, it was a Carr Blackmore, back in the 1900s, wrote the hymn, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory. Break through the gloom. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Is he coming for you? He's coming for me. Because I trusted him. Nothing because of anything I am, but because of his work in me, I'm ready. Is he coming for you? If you're not sure, you need to get your feet in the foundation tonight. Because you could leave it too late. Judgment is certain. Christ is certain. The only Savior. Calvary is certain. Salvation is certain. Assurance is certain. And his return, I tell you, is certain. Surely, he said, I come quickly. Charles Spurgeon died on the 31st of January 1892, I think. In one of his sermons, he said this: if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they perish, at least let them perish with our arms gripped around their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Friend, tonight, if you're not saved I'm pleading with you. My arms are around your legs, as it were, in the words of Charles Hatton Spurgeon. My arms are around your legs, lest you go another step. Trust Christ. Embrace Calvary before it's too late. And it could be too late tonight. In this world of uncertainty and doubt and half-truths, it's hard to find a firm foundation. Dear friend, here is God's firm foundation. God's judgment, certain. Person of Christ, his Son, certain. His sacrifice at Calvary, certain. His sacrifice, his salvation, his assurance, his return. It's all certain. You can take it to the bank. Make sure you're on the solid foundation. I've given you something, I trust, to hold on to. May God help you to come tonight. Stay safe, but make sure you're trusting the Savior.